The boy hadn't always loved the stars. One winter's night, when he might have been most accurately called a toddler, he sat on his father's shoulders and looked up at the sky. Above the snow-capped peaks, tinged blue by starlight, a cold, hard expanse of utter blackness had spread out above him. Seized with terror, he had clung to his father's neck tightly, fearful that invisible arms were about to reach out of that endless darkness, scoop him up, and carry him away. Now his father was gone. So was his fear of the depths of space. What he had now was someone greater than his father, and a heart that longed for wings to carry him through the vast sea of stars. It was January, SE 798, IE 489. Julian Mentz was about to turn 16. Rear Admiral Dusty Attenborough had departed Isolon Fortress, leading a 2,200-vessel division composed of warships both large and small. Operating far away from both the fortress and the rest of the Isolon patrol fleet, Attenborough's division was deployed inside the Isolon corridor, like a bayonet, pointed toward the Galactic Empire's territory. It was in this formation that Julian Mintz was presently serving. Their mission was to run security patrols along the front, although this doubled as large-scale training maneuvers for the new recruits as well. The Alliance Armed Forces, human resources pool, had been drained to no small degree last year by the so-called Military Congress for the Rescue of the Republic, whose coup d'etat had rocked the FPA to its core. Under the command of Admiral Yang Wen-Li, the Isolon patrol fleet had weathered many battles in that conflict, and in the Civil War's aftermath, a significant number of its veterans had been headhunted to fill key positions in new or expanded units. This meant that the fleet's most experienced personnel had been replaced by raw recruits, and although the numbers remained the same, it was hardly surprising that the fleet's overall quality as a fighting force had declined. No matter what latent abilities these new faces might conceal, efficient use of those talents could only come with time and experience. "It's gonna be no easy job making soldiers out of these kids." Such thoughts were never far from the minds of the instructors, as they contemplated the long road ahead for their young charges. Moreover, Isolon Fortress was on the very front line of the Free Planets Alliance's defenses, so every time the Galactic Imperial Navy made a move, it was those so stationed who stood to take the first blow. In spite of that, the battle-hardened warriors of this vital military installation had been poached, then replaced with untrained recruits. "What do those imbeciles in government think they're doing?" After much verbal abuse of the powers that be, Isolon's officers had set about dealing with the reality in front of them. These newbies had received only about a tenth of the training required to become fully functioning soldiers. To raise the odds of victory and increase their likelihood of survival, it was essential that they have at least 50% of the recommended training before it came time to face combat. Accordingly, from the moment they arrived at Isolon, the recruits were subjected to an overwhelming barrage of intense training, as well as blistering rebukes from veteran soldiers and angry, red-faced instructors.
"Did you scumbags just come here to goof off? All of you are a bunch of good-for-nothing puppy dogs. You want to live? You improve your skills. The enemy won't be giving you any handicaps. Understand, the one who wins is the one who's stronger, not the one who's right. Losing out here doesn't just disqualify you from some debate about right and wrong. You're disqualified from breathing, too. Don't you ever forget that.
Focus less on shooting early and more on shooting accurately. And when you do shoot first, timing is everything. Remember, when you open fire,
You're also giving the enemy your position. Your responses are slow. Do it over, from the beginning. Go back to military school. I don't see how you ever graduated in the first place. Don't come here until you're at least out of diapers.
The voices of the instructors grew ever louder and more heated. Whenever someone responded too sluggishly or failed to grasp an explanation, merciless abuse was sure to be heading their way. Although it was rare to find a youth with reflexes and powers of comprehension on par with Julian, not even he was able to make it through a training session without a baptism of invective. And not just once or twice, either. One of the more reprehensible characteristics of the military's specialized hierarchical society was that recruits too far above average earned the same angry glares as those who underperformed. Nobody in Attenborough's division got punched, but that was only because it was part of the Isilon patrol fleet. That was not the case in other regiments. In most matters, Yang, the commanding officer, was rather soft when it came to military discipline. But there were two areas in which he was so strict as to seem another person altogether. When soldiers harmed civilians, and when senior officers inflicted unfair or creative punishments on their subordinates. He had once demoted an officer decorated for valor on many a battlefield, and also sent him back to a post on Hynesson. It hadn't been the first time the man had used violence against subordinates, and Yang had ignored the cohort of officers who'd said they'd hated to lose his abilities. Subordinates can't do a thing to resist their CO's punishments. If a CO goes around hitting his men, and we hold him up as a model soldier, that just makes soldiers an embarrassment to humanity. We don't need a man like that. At the very least, I don't. Yang had neither raised his voice nor shouted. Both his expression and his voice had been rather soft. He was always like that when he was sticking to his guns about something. Yang Wenli was Julian's legal guardian, and when the boy had told him he wanted to be a soldier, Yang had not looked pleased. With the look on his face and his voice alike, he'd said, "There's all kinds of careers out there to choose from. Of all things, surely there's no need to pick the military." Yang Wenli was a military man himself. Although he was young, he was a full admiral already, and was viewed as the number three man in uniform after Admiral Kubresley, director of the Joint Operational Headquarters, and Admiral Bucock, commander-in-chief of the Space Armada. Most of his position would have gladly offered assistance if Julian wanted to join the military. Yang, however, didn't feel that the military life was his own calling, and decided that it would be a poor fit for Julian as well. At the same time, however, he couldn't just obstinately deny the free will of a young boy. As things stood presently, he was giving Julian his silent, if reluctant, assent. Although Yang was Julian's legal guardian, holder of parental authority over him, and his guarantor, none of that gave Julian any advantage whatsoever in training. On the contrary, it provided once-in-a-lifetime grist for mean-spirited junior officers to use when calling him names and making fun of him. "Don't think you'll get any special treatment here because you're Admiral Yang's adopted son." "Just look at you. You're an embarrassment to the Admiral's name." "If you think we're going to go easy on you, you've got another thing coming." "You probably think you can run crying to the Admiral and he'll take care of everything, but that isn't going to happen here." Comments like these infuriated him, but they never pushed Julian beyond the bounds of his endurance. The boy knew that, despite the abuse, he was still in an enviable position. The attitude pervading Isilon Fortress and the patrol fleet was still, without a doubt, the best in all the armed forces of the Alliance. That the air here could not be completely purged of such negative emotions was perhaps simply a cross that had to be carried, not only by the military, but by any other group of humans as well.